What if the universe doesn't actually exist in a solid state until you are confused by it?
It's a pretty wild thought, right?
I mean, think about that for a second. We normally just assume the physical world is sitting there, fully formed, waiting for us to figure it out.
Exactly. Like it's a fixed stage we're just walking around on.
Right. But what if your very lack of understanding is the gravitational pull that actually forces reality to take shape?
Yeah, and that shift in perspective is exactly what we're looking at today.
Right, because you know that feeling when you're staring at one of those Magic Eye posters? For minutes, it's just this chaotic mess of pixels.
Oh, yeah, totally frustrated.
And then your eyes shift just a fraction of a millimeter, and snap, a perfect 3D image appears. The chaos didn't change, but your relationship to it did. Your mind, collapsed the confusion into a structured reality.
And that transition feels sudden, almost binary. But underneath that subjective feeling is an intense, measurable process.
Which brings us to the mission for today. Welcome to our deep dive into a new book called Semantic Collapse Theory, or SCT.
Yeah, it's a fascinating read.
We are going to explore this mathematical framework that attempts to unify human consciousness, the feeling of uncertainty, and the actual physical structure of reality into one single equation.
And what's fascinating here is that the central thesis of this book fundamentally alters how we view our place in nature.
Because normally we treat uncertainty as just a passive background thing, right? Like the weather's uncertain or a dice roll.
Exactly. We view ourselves as passive observers trying to calculate the odds. But SCT argues that probability isn't a primitive fact of the universe, it's actually generated.
Wait, generated.
Yes. Uncertainty is actively created and then resolved by living systems. In this framework, you don't extract truth from the universe by being smart and having total knowledge.
Okay, then how do you do it?
You extract truth through the physical act of not understanding. It is the literal tension of the unknown that does the work.
Okay, let's unpack this. If not understanding is the primary tool we use to build reality, we need to define how this book measures that confusion.
Right.
They introduced this concept called semantic entropy.
Right. And H of T is how they denote it.
Now, usually when you hear the word entropy, you think of thermodynamics, a messy desk, a decaying
A
building.
hot cup of coffee cooling down. Yeah, physical disorder.
Exactly. But semantic entropy operates differently, right?
It does. It measures unresolved tension within a specific system of meaning rather than like the physical clutter of atoms.
Oh, I see.
So when you're facing a contradiction or a massive gap in your knowledge, your semantic entropy is high. When all that tension is resolved, your semantic entropy approaches zero.
It sounds like the mathematical measurement of a cliffhanger.
That's a really good way to put it.
Like if you're reading a mystery novel, if I buy a thriller, flip immediately to the last page and find out who the killer is, well, my semantic entropy drops to zero. All the tension is gone.
And you're bored.
Right. I have zero drive to actually read the book. But on the flip side, if the book is printed in an alien language where every single word is incomprehensible gibberish,
Your entropy skyrockets past your ability to process it.
yeah, I get completely overwhelmed and I just put the book down in frustration. You only enjoy the story in the tension between those two extremes.
And that space between boredom and overwhelming chaos is what the book defines mathematically as the life zone.
The life zone.
Yeah. The framework introduces the balance equation. It dictates that for any complex system to remain functional, whether that's a cell, a human brain, or even an AI, its semantic entropy has to stay within a specific fluctuating band.
So you need a constant flow of novelty to inject entropy into your system.
Exactly. And you need your cognition to continuously collapse it.
But wait, the math here says that if the change in entropy over time drops to zero or goes negative, it equates to death. Is this framework implying that biologically and psychologically, if we don't have some level of constant confusion or tension to solve, we literally cease to function?
Mathematically, yes. Without new entropy entering your system, you lose your structural hooks into reality.
Wow.
Your cognitive engine requires raw material to process. Stagnation in this model isn't just an emotion, it's a systemic failure.
That's intense. So life is basically the active process of consuming and resolving uncertainty.
Right. If the entropy injection completely stops, you experience what they call overcollapse. Without a problem to solve, the system loses its internal drive and just ceases to function as a living entity.
But living in a constant state of unresolved tension sounds incredibly taxing. Like, if we absolutely need this constant flow of uncertainty to survive, how do we actually process it?
We navigate it using questions.
Questions, just asking things.
Well, in what the book calls conditional collapse theory, a question is not just a grammatical sentence. Mathematically, a question acts as a measurement operator.
Okay, meaning what exactly?
Yeah.
When you ask a question about a complex situation, you're actively collapsing the potential of that theory. You are forcing a chaotic, high-entropy cloud of possibilities to take a more definitive shape.
So figuring out which question to ask first seems to be the bottleneck.
Huge bottleneck, yeah. The book models this process as a mathematical puzzle known as the question TSP.
Which stands for the traveling salesman problem, right? For you listening, the traveling salesman problem is this notoriously brutal mathematical puzzle. You have to find the absolute shortest possible route to visit a specific list of cities and return home.
And as you add more cities, the number of possible routes explodes.
Right, into the billions and trillions, making it insanely computationally heavy to solve perfectly.
And the framework applies that exact computational burden to human cognition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Finding the optimal sequence of questions to maximize your understanding while simultaneously minimizing the energy your brain has to expend, it's mathematically identical to navigating the traveling salesman problem.
Because you're moving through a massive lattice of possible questions, hoping that the answer to question A provides the context to make question B easier to answer.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's like building a house of cards out of clues. You're meticulously trying to solve the TSP of questions, placing card after card.
Hoping it doesn't fall down.
Right. Then, one final question acts as this constructive interference. It makes the whole structure of confusion collapse instantly into clarity. The book provides a literal equation for an epiphany, right?
It does. It models it as a semantic oscillator. It measures the amplitude of your confusion as it sways back and forth.
Building up tension.
Yes. And when that amplitude exceeds a specific structural threshold, the cognitive tension becomes unsustainable. One final piece of context acts as the trigger, and the entire structure collapses into near-zero entropy.
The aha moment, the sudden rush of clarity.
Exactly. And the mechanics of that rush are based on wave interference. The theory refers to this as sound field intelligence.
Sound field intelligence. Okay.
It basically treats the process of understanding as literal waves moving through a semantic field. So when you ask a sequence of questions, you generate collapse waves.
And if two converging waves of thought hit each other perfectly in phase,
they create constructive interference. Their amplitudes multiply. That sudden spike is the physical manifestation of the aha moment.
But why is the TSP part so hard for us? Why can't we always just find the most efficient question path? Like, why do we spend days agonizing over a simple spreadsheet at work before we finally see the pattern?
Because the traveling salesman problem is what mathematicians classify as NP-hard. It requires immense computational power. We rarely have perfect information, so our brains are forced to guess the optimal path.
And we often guess wrong.
We ask the wrong questions in the wrong sequence. Mm-hmm. And when those misaligned paths collide in the semantic field, they don't multiply.
They create destructive interference.
Exactly. The waves actively cancel each other out.
So for the listener, that feeling when you were trying to solve a complex problem, and the harder you concentrate, the less it makes sense that deepening frustration and brain fog is literal destructive interference happening in your mind.
Yeah, the waves of your questions are literally crashing into each other destructively. The cognitive cost is high, and that interference actively depletes your processing power.
But what happens when that fog never clears? When the destructive interference just loops indefinitely and you get completely fundamentally stuck.
That occurs when the barrier between your current state of confusion and the final collapse of understanding is simply too high.
You just lack the energy.
Or the precise sequence of questions required to cross the threshold. When the wave cannot resolve, it reflects back on itself and becomes a standing wave.
And the framework refers to this as a hook.
Yes.
A hook is like an earworm. Like a catchy song stuck in your head is a literal standing wave of unresolved semantic tension. Your brain is anticipating the musical resolution, but it never arrives, so the cognitive system just keeps looping the setup.
That's a perfect everyday example.
Or, on a much more serious level, an obsessive worry or anxious thought that you just cannot shake.
Right. And managing those standing waves requires a specific regulatory mechanism, which brings us to how SCT mathematically defines free will.
Okay, this part blew my mind.
It represents free will with the variable omega, defining it as the capacity of an intelligent agent to consciously modulate its own entropy dynamics.
I have to pause there. Philosophers have debated the existence and nature of free will for millennia. And this theory is just operationalizing it as a thermodynamic variable.
It is. It formalizes the concept into three distinct modes of operation. First, you have the will to collapse, which is the internal drive to solve problems.
Okay.
Second, the will to explore, the drive to seek out novelty if you're nearing overcollapse. And third, the will to sustain, which is the capacity to actively increase your own tolerance threshold for chaos without breaking down.
So free will in this math isn't some mystical philosophical force. It's just a variable or capacity to manage your own novelty rate and collapse rate.
Exactly. It's an observable dynamic system.
And if that's true, then willpower depletion must be quantifiable. Like when someone comes home from a long day of making difficult decisions at work and they're so cognitively drained they can't even choose what to eat for dinner, is that an actual mathematical exhaustion of this omega variable?
Yes, because modulating entropy requires actual quantifiable energy. Your will variable, omega, grows when you successfully modulate your environment.
Like solving a difficult puzzle.
Right. You literally build the capacity for more willpower. The system reinforces itself, but it severely weakens through failed modulation.
You're throwing yourself against the barrier of a hook.
Like endlessly worrying about a problem without ever crossing into resolution, that drains your available cognitive energy. You mathematically deplete your omega. The exhaustion is systemic.
Wow. So our minds are engines for collapsing uncertainty, running on a strict thermodynamic budget of willpower.
Mm.
But this is where the book goes a step further, right? It claims this cognitive process actually dictates physical reality.
This is where it moves from cognitive science directly into quantum physics. The framework introduces the concept of the universe as a variable sensor.
Okay, explain that.
It is entirely based on a deeply counterintuitive axiom understanding prevents collapse.
I need to push back on that premise.
Yeah.
Because subjectively, understanding something makes it feel solid and defined, not the other way around.
Subjectively, yes.
Like we assume that observing and understanding a system is what locks it into place.
But physically, the mechanics are reversed. When a sensor, whether that is a human eye, a camera, or an electronic detector, already understands a truth domain, it doesn't disturb the quantum system.
So the flow of reality remains a wave of possibilities.
Exactly. It is the act of not understanding that triggers the physical universe to collapse. Your semantic gap, that high entropy of your confusion, demands a solid answer from reality.
So what does this all mean? It's like reality is a really strict teacher.
Okay, I like this.
If you confidently know the material that's understanding, the teacher just nods and lets you sit quietly. You do not disturb the flow of the class.
Right.
But the moment you express confusion, the moment you do not understand, the teacher pauses the whole class, walks over to the chalkboard, and draws a definitive diagram to force you to understand. That drawing on the chalkboard is the physical collapse of reality.
That is a brilliant analogy. And the framework uses that exact dynamic to reinterpret one of the most famous mysteries in physics, the double slit experiment.
Oh, the classic quantum physics experiment.
Right. In standard quantum mechanics, measuring a particle collapses its wave function. It forces it to act like a solid bullet instead of a wave of possibilities.
But usually we hear that looking at a quantum particle changes it. But this is saying the lack of understanding is what forces the universe to materialize an answer.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
yes.
SET views the detector itself as a variable sensor. By setting up a detector to measure the position of a particle, the sensor is essentially declaring to the universe, I do not understand where this particle is.
I see.
The semantic confusion creates a localized deficit of meaning that requires resolution. The universe is mathematically forced to collapse the truth into a solid particle pattern to provide that answer.
And if you remove the detector entirely,
the system implicitly understands the wave nature of the particle. Because there is no confusion asking for a specific position, no collapse is necessary. The wave pattern survives undisturbed.
That completely flips our understanding of physics. The universe's default is a wave of possibilities. Our lack of semantic resolution demands a solid answer, forcing the wave to become a particle.
Exactly.
So if confusion forces reality to collapse, what happens when someone is in a flow state? Like an athlete or musician completely in the zone?
The theory mathematically defines the flow state as an alignment of entropy. High intelligence and deep understanding actually result in low disturbance.
Oh, because you aren't projecting confusion.
Exactly. You aren't asking the universe questions. You aren't forcing reality to collapse unnaturally. You move seamlessly with the wave of possibilities rather than demanding it become a particle. So if our cognition, our very capacity to not understand, is what demands reality to take a solid shape. What does this mean for the nature of consciousness itself? We're actively doing the heavy lifting to keep the universe solid.
Yes. Consciousness, under the SCT framework, is a co-creative fundamental force. It's not just an emergent side effect of matter.
It's participation.
The universe generates entropy. Life acts as the modulator of that entropy, forcing reality to collapse into definitive physical events.
Which in turn creates new entropy, starting the loop over.
Exactly. It's a continuous symbiotic engine of reality.
And how do we use this math practically? Because we talked about those hooks, those standing waves of trauma or obsessive thoughts.
Well, the math of the semantic oscillator provides a clear equation for breaking those patterns.
Yeah.
Because a hook is a standing wave, you have to modify the variables to break it.
Oh, so.
The framework offers three avenues. First, lower the barrier. That means simplifying the problem so the patient can finally cross the threshold of understanding.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, increase the energy, making the resolution urgent enough that the wave has the momentum to crash. Or third, disrupt the frequency. Literally break the cycle of the thought pattern so the standing wave loses its structural integrity.
Okay, applying this hook-breaking formula to therapy. You lower the barrier, raise the energy, or disrupt the frequency. Does this mean a therapist is essentially just an engineer trying to reverse engineer an aha moment for the patient?
That's exactly what they're doing. The therapist is manipulating the semantic oscillator until the patient's internal tension crosses the threshold and collapses the trauma into resolution.
Wow.
And the same logic extends into artificial intelligence. The book argues that for an AI to possess true internal free will, it cannot be built like our current large language models.
Because current models essentially just sit at zero entropy until a human gives them a prompt, right? They don't have internal tension.
Right.
So how would an AI monitor its own tension in the SCT framework?
It would require an architecture that actually experiences the life zone. The system must autonomously monitor its own internal semantic entropy.
So if this entropy drops too low, it gets bored.
And it would automatically trigger the will to explore, forcing itself to seek out new data. If the entropy gets too high, approaching chaotic overload, it deploys the will to collapse, actively solving problems to reduce the tension.
So it'd have to manage a thermodynamic entropy budget just like a biological organism.
Exactly. Yeah. Balancing between boredom and chaos.
To see cognitive psychology, quantum physics, and artificial intelligence all unified by the exact same mathematical principles is just incredibly profound.
It really is. It demonstrates that meaning and the pursuit of it is a structural component of the universe. The tension you feel when trying to solve a problem isn't just an emotion, it's a physical necessity keeping your cognitive engine running.
We have covered massive ground today. We explored how life exists in the tension of uncertainty. Our brains use questions to trigger constructive interference to find clarity, and how our very lack of understanding physically forces the universe to give us solid answers.
Life is literally the collapse engine of the universe.
Absolutely. And for you listening, I hope you think about your own hooks and aha moments differently now. Not just as feelings, but as literal semantic waves colliding in your mind.
Yeah, it changes how you look at your own thoughts.
It really does. But I want to leave you with one final lingering question. Building on that idea of the universe as a strict teacher. If our not understanding is what forces the universe to provide concrete physical answers, what happens to reality if humanity ever reaches a state where we completely understand everything?
Oh, wow.
Without our confusion to trigger it, does the physical universe just stop manifesting? Something for you to mull over. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.